This morning, I'm not going to particularly go into Ephesians. About a week ago, Lana and I were reading. She was reading, I was listening. And she was a devotional. There was a verse in there that she read that really struck me richly. And I saw it from a different angle. And the Lord kind of spoke to me from a different angle. So I'm going to go there this morning. And really what I'm going to speak on is a romance, the divine romance of God for us, His divine romance. He is much more in love with us than we are in love with Him. Do we realize that? If He had the love of 100% of the love of our hearts, He still is more in love with us than we are in love with Him. And it is He that loved us first that we might love Him. So turn with me to the Song of Solomon. First chapter. And I'm going to try to move quickly because, again, we get to break bread together today. So, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We understand if we read, for instance, well, exactly, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 tells us that Solomon wrote or spoke 3,000 proverbs. We have 31 of them in the Bible. He had 3,000. It tells us that he had 1,005 songs. We have the Song of Songs, hence Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. He had 1,005. This is the song of all songs. It beats any song written by any contemporary artist. It is Scripture, isn't it? Breathed of God. It is the Song of Songs. So let's read in verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. And I'll stop there. So this is the Song of Songs. It is the divine love song between a Christ, between God and His bride. That's the symbolism of it, written however you want to view it. But that's what it symbolizes. Christ and His love for the church. And individually, Christ and His love for us. And I want to, this is the verse that kind of, that stuck out at me as we were looking. And we realize when we read this that we are intruders. And you'll see why I say that in a minute. We are intruders. We are eavesdropping on a person who is ravished with love. So ravished that in this book there is no introduction. It starts right out. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. We've broken in on a love affair. We've broken in on the Holy Scriptures. We've broken in on God's divine love for His bride in her correct and natural response. There is no introduction. This person who is known as the Shulamite, the bride, she is overcome with love. And she cannot contain herself. And up erupting from her is the passion of her heart for her lover. There is no introduction. She cannot hold back. She's not worried about etiquette. She's not worried about being crass or worrying about the words she uses. It is her heart that springs up. And it is a picture of the bride of Christ, of you and of me, of our natural, our rightful response to God. And so we read there, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Wine has been ruined. It has been ravaged and ruined by sin. Wine, in customary in this, when it was written back here, was the, again, this was basically their diet, bread and wine. That was, you know, they'd have a lamb now and then, but it was bread and it was wine. And wine was life to them. It was nourishment to them. It wasn't a party. It wasn't a bash. It wasn't, didn't have an alcohol content on the bottle. It was life to them. Without it, because they couldn't have of the water. Most of the water wasn't drinkable and it was hard to get. Wine was life to them. And that's what it speaks of in the Scriptures. It's life to us. It's the joy in the Holy Ghost to us. But let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What is our response to that? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Do you believe that God wants to kiss you? Do you believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross because he wanted to kiss you? He cannot partake of sin. His eyes are holier than that, than to partake sin. But he wants to kiss you. In his beloved, in Christ Jesus, God wants to kiss us. And not just a kiss on the hand, the most intimate of all kisses, a kiss on your lips. What do you think of that? God wants to bend down, as it were, and embrace you and kiss you this morning on your lips. And the bride bursts forth, let him kiss me. Let him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Plural. For thy love is better than wine. The word love there in the original is plural. His loves, he loves us in every which way we can think of. He loves us so many ways. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. It's plural and yet it's singular because it all flows from his heart. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, what I want to say about that is this, and this was the thought that came to me when I heard that verse, was this thought, that with the kiss comes the Christ. It's not separate from him. If he is willing to kiss me, if I am willing to let him kiss me, there is an embrace there. There is a cooperation there. There is a partnership there. There is a covenant there. And with the kiss comes the Christ. And with the Christ comes the King. And so if I'm willing to let him kiss me, am I willing to take him as he is? If I do not do that, I'm an adulterer, I'm a liar, I'm a cheater, and I'm a deceiver. If I let him kiss me, and I don't take all that stands for, because with the kiss comes the person of Christ, the will of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the lordship of Christ. I cannot just kiss him as a friend. Judas did that. Judas kissed him as a friend. Jesus called him a friend. Even then, he called him a friend. And so, will I let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? Will I embrace him? And so, what are those kisses? And so, I ran through my mind, what are some of the kisses? What do they mean? The first, so I just wrote, there would be a lot of them, and I just wrote down a few of them. And to embrace him with the kiss. King of my life, I crown thee now. One of the old hymns is, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy blood-stained brow, lead me to Calvary. Am I willing to go to Calvary? Be careful. He wants to kiss you with the kisses of his mouth. A mouth that was beaten. A mouth that wept bitterly, as it were, cried cries. Will I let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? Will I let him kiss me and let him embrace me with what he says in John 3, verse 3? I'll just speak of it. Nicodemus comes to him, and Jesus says to him, you must be born again. That's the beginning of the kisses. You must be born again. In Matthew 4, verse 17, the message of Jesus is told to us. And he came and he spoke and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Will I repent? Will I bow my proud, stubborn neck, my proud, self-centered life? Humans are the most self-centered creatures on earth. We engineer self-centeredness. That's what commerce is mostly about, is self-centeredness. And will I bow my stubborn neck, the right to myself, and will I repent? And this is his message, repent, for the kingdom of God draws near. That was the same message John the Baptist had. Repentance is grace because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Will I just bow my stubborn neck and say, you be Lord of my life? Will I let him kiss me with those kisses of his mouth to let him come to me as Savior? And as he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born anew. You must be born from heaven. You must have a new spirit put within you. I don't care how you want to word it, but that's what it is. You must be born again. The old you must die, and you must have a new you. Will you be born again? So that's my first kiss. The second one is will I let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth as they come to us in obedience? It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. You can turn there if you want to. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he, that's Jesus, when he was coming into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldst not. Money in the offering plate isn't the primary thing God's looking for. He's looking for our hearts. So, you know, labor isn't what God's looking for necessarily. He wants our hearts. Wherefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Now, these are our words as well. God's prepared for you a body. He's given you a body. Put your spirit in a body. Your body's just a house. It's temporary. It's got a fatal disease. All of us have a fatal disease. It's going to take our life one way or the other. If we live long enough, it'll get us. It's called aging. We're all going to die of it. There's no way out of this world apart from it. But he's prepared for us a body. But a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will, O God. Will I let him kiss me? Will I let him embrace me? Will I embrace him and say, I have come to do thy will, O God. I bow my knee to you, and when you kiss me and I receive your kiss, I receive obedience, my obedience unto you. In John chapter 8, it's verse 29, Jesus said, everything I do pleases the Father. Everything I do pleases the Father. All that I do pleases the Father. That's his biography. All that he did pleases the Father. Well, he's kissing you and he's kissing me. Will I obey him? Will I bow the knee to him? Will that be our epitaph? All that he did pleased the Father. Will I let him kiss me? It's such a romantic view. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But these are his kisses. Well, apart from me lining up with who he is and his lordship, I am a fraud. I am a cheating spouse. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth in obedience. Another one then that came to mind is discipleship. In Luke, the famous verse in Luke chapter 9, turn there with me. I'm going to read verse 24 and 25, and then I'm going to go to the verse that I want to go to. That is particularly what I want to talk on here. The kiss of discipleship. Verse 24 in Luke chapter 9. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That's how you be a Christian. We lose our lives. When we come to Christ, this is what repentance means. Is it's no longer I that live. It's Christ who lives in me. We bow the knee to him. We hand over the ownership to him. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man profited or advantaged if he gain the whole world and he lose himself or be cast away? What can a man give for his soul? I don't care what we do. I don't care what we achieve. I don't care about the millions that someone might make, or the fame, or the home runs, or the touchdowns, or the 3 points shoots he makes. Or it doesn't matter. What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Hell is the outcome of it outside of Christ. This is what it is. But this is the verse I want to go to. Right, the verse right ahead of that, verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 23. And he said unto them all, he said to all of them, if any person will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is discipleship. Take up your cross daily and follow me. What's a cross for? It's not for a necklace. It's not for a logo of a church. One, two, or three. Doesn't matter. That's not really what the cross is for. It's to die on. That's what it says. Ravenhill said, you never saw a man carrying a cross out of Jerusalem knowing he was going to come back. One thing he knew, he was not coming back. When he left Jerusalem with a cross on his back, or Rome, he wasn't coming back alive. And so this is the kiss that Jesus comes to us. If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and come and follow me. Now do I want to kiss him? Am I willing to embrace him and kiss him this morning? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But this is what's behind those kisses. In Galatians 2:20, I quoted it already. You know, but it's no longer I that live. It's Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Next verse, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And, you know, we can over-spiritualize these verses. It is no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. You know, this is all that means, is that you don't live your own life anymore. All it means is we over-spiritualize it like I'm waiting for some great cosmic event to appear in my soul and change me forever and ever. It's as simple as it says there. Let me read it, lest I drop out a word or two there. I am crucified with Christ. That's what, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive. Still Tom. I'm still alive. But it's Christ who's living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself. All he's saying is, I don't choose my own way anymore. I'm still Paul. But I'm not Paul. Because everything Christ wants me to do, I'm doing it. So really, you're seeing Christ by the way I live. It's not some event that happened, some revelation that came to me, and now I don't do anything anymore. It is a revelation, but it's the outworking of the revelation that I am dead with Christ. I am now going to be dead unto myself, and the decisions I make are not my decisions anymore. They're His decisions in me. So when you see me, you're seeing Christ, because this is what Christ would do. That's all He's saying. This is what Christ would do. If I had a son and he did everything that I would do, exactly the way I would do it, and he would talk the way I talked and walk the way I walked, and every decision that he made was the decision that I would make, you would see, hey, there's another Tom. You know, there's another Tom. That's what he's saying. Is that there's another Christ, 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 there's another Christ. Because God's living through me, and I'm obedient to Him. I am His disciple, and I've taken up my cross daily, because we've got to do it daily. We're alive every day to ourselves. And so we choose to die to ourselves every day. And it's not the knowing the doctrine of this, it's the outworking, the practical side of this, that I don't choose my own way anymore. I choose the Lord's way. I love who He loves. I hate what He hates. My mind is paralleled with Him. And I do what He tells me to do. All that the Father does, I do. Everything the Father says, I say. That's what Jesus said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's the Christ side of this verse. It is no longer I that live. It's Christ who lives in me. Why? Because I'm obeying Him. And this is what Jesus looks like. What a testimony. This is what Jesus looks like. Because everything He tells me to do, I do. Okay? That's the kiss of discipleship. Do I want to kiss Him? Do I want to kiss Him this morning? Then we have the kiss of submission and propitiation. These might get a little easier for us now. Okay? And I want us to turn to Luke 26. And it's particularly emphasized to us as we consider, I'm sorry, I'm not in Luke 26. Matthew 26. And down into verse 42. As we think of Easter, and again, we're just jumping in kind of into the middle of this, in Matthew 26, 42, and he went away again the second time and he prayed. This is Jesus saying, Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. See the submission? This is the Christ who wants to kiss us and breathe into us the breath of life and cause us to love like he loves. It's a kiss of submission. Not my will, but thine be done. And in doing that, he became the propitiation for our sins. He made peace with God so that he could kiss us. These are the two things. He shows us the example of perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed. Perfect submission to his Father. Cost him everything. Sweat great drops of blood. Shows us the picture of submission and then says, Can I kiss you? With the kisses of my lips. Can I do that? I'm going to put this cup to my lips. This is the cup of the wrath of God that is going to be poured out upon all flesh who do not know him. It is the most horrible thing in the world, is the wrath of God. And Jesus drank that cup to the empty so you and I would not have to. I want to know propitiation. I want to know the forgiveness of God, the peace that I have with God through Jesus Christ. And I want him to kiss me with that propitiation. But will I let him kiss me with the willingness to be submissive along with it? Okay, another one. In Matthew 27. There's a startling phrase that shows up in all four Gospels. And it's just this short phrase. Every time I read it, I'm shocked, especially in Matthew, because it says, And then they crucified him. Isn't that? Every time I read it, it hits me. And then they crucified him. What a comment. What a statement. And it's in all four Gospels, it says it. Someplace you'll find that phrase when you read about the Passion of Christ. It's the one that shows up four times. And then they crucified him. Man, that should melt our hearts. And then they crucified him. Well, here in Matthew 27, verse 46. And again, you'll find this in two of the Gospels. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. See, these are things that Jesus, I'm taking things that he's saying out of his mouth. All these verses I've taken are things that he's said. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken so you and I could be accepted. He was forsaken because he took my sin upon him. And he was forsaken of his Father that you and I could be accepted. Will I receive the kiss of acceptance? Will I let him kiss me with those kisses? His acceptance, his wonderful acceptance. If we went to Luke, and I'm just going to move along. In Luke, he cried out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Will we forgive like Jesus forgives? Will we accept the kisses of his mouth and be forgiven ourselves? Or am I going to be stubborn and go my own way? Man's own way ends up one place, and Proverbs tells us that. It's the place of destruction. That's the only place man's way leads, is to destruction. So the place of forgiveness in Luke. In John, let's look at John's 19. I made reference to this, I think, last week when we were going in Ephesians and we came upon the word redemption. So on John 19, verse 30, John 19, verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When he said, It is finished, again, that word is the same word as used in Ephesians about that we have been redeemed by his own blood. It's the Greek word. It means paid in full. It's not wasn't saying, and they understood this. This was a common phrase in their day when he said those words, "It is finished." Of course, he didn't say it in English. When he said, "It is finished," the Greek word meant someone had taken a bill of debt that someone else could not pay, and they wrote across it, "Paid in full." And he cried from the cross, "It is paid in full. Will I let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? Paid in full. Paid in full. My sin is paid in full. So much so that God will remember it never again. Those Egyptians who tormented you, you shall see them again, never again, forever." It's tremendous. Forgiven and redemption. Those are his kisses. And then the last one that I want us to look at is in Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. What Hannah sang about this morning is going to be an experience, a personal experience in more ways than one to us. If I am truly born again, I know something of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I who once was dead am now alive. But there's another one coming, and it is the finishing of our redemption. In Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord Himself," the emphasis is on Jesus, "the Lord Jesus Himself," nobody else is going to have the preeminence in that day. No one else is going to lay their eyes upon all the angels and whatever else is going on. It is the Lord Himself. All right? No man has seen Him as He really is. They saw Jesus in human form, but they never saw glory unveiled in Jesus. We will see glory unveiled in Jesus when He comes the second time. As it says in Philippians, He emptied Himself of all His glory, that He could come and be a servant. When He comes this time, it's not. It's Jesus Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that word Himself and shout in the Greek, it basically is speaking of a general who is leading his army and they're ready to charge. And he gives out the shout, "Charge!" And his armies rise up. Jesus will come with a shout. Hallelujah. And of course, then the voice of the archangel, when they do that, you know, all the troops, they all, "Yeah!" And they're all running with Him. That's the shout. Jesus Himself is going to come and He's going to shout. "And will He kiss me with the kisses of His mouth? Will I be able to embrace that resurrection day? If I haven't been born again, if I don't know something of discipleship, if I don't know something of denying myself, if I don't know the forgiveness, if I don't know the submission of Christ, I'm afraid for you and I'm afraid for me that I won't know that glorious day when He Himself comes with His shout from heaven. Will I know the kisses of His mouth? Will I know them as redeemed?" How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. It's real. The resurrection is real. What Hannah sung about is real. And we're going to rise up out of our graves, or if He comes before we're dead, we're going to meet Him in the air. But it's going to start with a shout. He Himself will come and He will shout with His mouth. "And will He kiss me with the kisses of His mouth?" Am I ready? Are you ready for the kisses? Will we embrace Him? "Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for His love is better than wine." It's great. Amen.